Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus. And tonight on Hercules and the Space Gods, I'm proud to bring you ET Universal Zone with Phyllis and Mark Brinkerhoff. Greetings and welcome, Phyllis and Mark. How are you doing?
Hey, hi Hercules. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. And yourself?
We're doing fine. Thank you.
I'm looking forward to the program tonight, as always.
Oh, thank you. We're looking forward to it, too, because when we do this, I hear things, so I don't know exactly what the crew is going to say. We're
okay.
Trying in. They've been doing that today. Let's see. So
good. I've been having a very synchronistic past few days also. It seems like a million different things are clicking all at once.
Oh, wow. I hope you had a nice Thanksgiving time.
I did, and you?
And we did, too. We were in Connecticut.
So we had a friend ask some questions regarding abortion today.
Okay.
And so we took them down, and it's a very interesting topic coming at it from a cosmic perspective. So I love it when Mark talks about it.
Oh, dear.
You've got the questions right there.
Okay. Just wanted to also acknowledge all of our different people on the planet Earth right now, friends and family members as well, who are maybe not be feeling good or feeling a little sad or maybe have symptoms, and to just, we're all praying for everybody and help them to cure themselves and everything, and Creator to step in and heal them all. What are we going to do first?
I think just do the abortion questions first, because
okay.
I just want to get that, complete.
Okay. That was great. Okay, so
it's in the news quite a bit, so.
Yes.
I'm sure that people have a lot of questions about, like the first one, Mark.
While you're sorting through that, Craig Campobasso says hello.
Hi,
Craig. We love you, man.
He DM'd me on Facebook. I invited him on the show, so he said to say hi.
Oh, excellent.
Well, thank you.
Excellent.
Thank you, Craig.
Craig's
a great guy and made some beautiful books. Also, we've been out of body together with Valiant Thor and his crew. So it was a couple of years back. So it's a great time with Craig. Craig's wonderful. Read his books.
Yes, I
plan
to.
Questions. I'm telling it to the people. read Craig's books. Okay, our first question. When does the soul generally connect with the body? So it's like, when does the soul connect everybody to the little baby?
To the fetus.
Little fetus or zygote. What I've seen and what I've known from the other side, it doesn't always happen at the moment of conception, although the soul who wants to come in usually stands nearby or is watching in some way. So they wait to see how things go with the first week or so. They still observe it. And they can connect right away, or they wait a little bit and wait and connect an energy to the little zygote, let's say little cells forming as a presence, as their presence, and they're just being there with it. As the little baby forms into a small little 3 weeks old, very tiny, they connect then too. In my case, I was a walk-in, but that didn't connect until 8 months when the other soul left. So I found out that soul had connected to the little tiny zygote fetus-y baby within the first month. That's what I found out from the other side. So some souls come in early, some wait a little bit. And the thing is when parents or a mother starts discussing with family maybe she's not married, and she's discussing what to do with the baby. If it was a rape or something not needed at the time, it was raped, or what's the other ones? Besides rape, just unwanted pregnancy at the moment. Yes, unintended. Like a 15-year-old or 14-year-old or something, that they might discuss abortion or adoption, depending on what the people are thinking in their conscience and how they feel in their heart, the mother. If they discuss abortion and decide to go through with abortion, many times then the soul pulls back a little bit, even though it's still connected to the baby, pulls back knowing that they're going to plan this and might set up a future arrangement to come back into the family in some other way, whether the same mother or the family members of that family, brothers, sisters, cousins. And that's another way that they do that. Yet everybody listening, do not think that a baby does not feel, no matter how the little size is. They have nerves and they have a lot of intense feelings, so they can feel even inside the womb. And they can hear when they're a certain age in the womb, let's say 3 months or so, they can hear. I'm sorry, I'm just kind of like swallowing. Needed tea. So they can hear as well as sense light, or even though their eyes lids are fused, still they can still sense light. So if a doctor probes a light in there, the baby can actually see it and maybe avoid it and put its hand up to the eye. But just so people know that when they do abortions, these babies do feel. They're not just not feeling. And that's the part that's the worst for people like us and listening, or me, knowing that the child can feel, even though the doctor might be telling the mother something else. In truth, it's life. The soul, the little baby, is life, no matter how early it is in the womb. Now, I'm hearing this to say, everybody, I'm not making this up myself. I'm hearing this from the other side, from my overpart and those people with him, them on the other side, that they want people to know that the child feels, and that's why this is so important, because many times we've talked to, Phyllis and I have talked to people who've had abortions, and they still carry the pain or that with them for years, 20 plus whatever years it could be, and they are hurting because they feel what they did was wrong, but they had no other choice. So people who feel it's wrong, even though they have no other choice, the soul understands that the baby, the person coming in as a soul to be that child, understands how the mother is feeling, because they love the mother, because usually the soul coming in knows the people from the past times, from other times. And they've arranged these things too, beforehand. If there was a rape and it was not intended in any way, just not even a family member, just something happens to somebody in a park or something, a soul stands back because of the violence that occurred. The soul that might come towards that baby fetus was not maybe intended at all in a karmic review, let's say, before this mother, people came to this planet and came into reincarnate. So what might come towards that fetus would be a person that matches some of the energy, and that it happened. I mean, this is hard to explain, because a mother, then maybe she's so distraught over everything that she just wants this baby gone. So on the other side, when they discuss these things on the physical realms, perhaps the best way is to have what they know today as the day after pill. But in ancient times, they had herbs, and the Native Americans had plants and herbs that they used as like a day after pill. that I've read a long time ago, over 30 years or more ago, and how some of the ancients had lost some of this information because of people coming through and killing different people and tribes coming through and killing other tribes. They lost their information, or the herbs are gone, or the plants that were maybe near the west coast on the ocean area, which was one tribe, that area might have lost some of those plants. So today, people alive today as natives might not know those plants or remember them. So we've lost some of this kind of information over centuries. And even though in one way we think abortion is murder, and it is, in murder in the way of older child. As a little zygote, it would be like no one's connected to it.
I think one of the questions is, what kind of karma, I might be difficult because everybody has different karma for different reasons, but when one of the questions was is the karma intent dependent on, like we were just talking, rape or versus casual sex with no precautions? So, I mean, you'd have to say that karma for the mother and the father, who did casual sex, there's a responsibility there.
Yes.
To, understand that a mistake was made. It's not,
Well, some people choose to keep a child even if they were raped in some way, because they might say that the baby has nothing to do with what happened. It's an innocent. And many times that's true. And that in the ancient times, or hundreds of years ago, they might have had the baby someplace where no one would notice or so, and give the baby to adoption. So this is all with the conscience of the parent or the mother. And there are people who, yes, have like a rape situation on a date or whatever, and the man doesn't own up to it. That's his karma now, because he does not own up to it, no matter what he might say, it was someone else, not me, and it wasn't. So they have to face the truth, too.
And how can they clear that karma? How can you clear the karma when the mistake has been made? Because I think a lot of people would like to know the answer to that question. How do you clear the karma? Obviously, if somebody continues to use unprotected sex or abortion as birth control, that's a person that's just completely lost sight of reality. But most people, I don't think, are like that.
No, and that's why in the old ancient times they had escorts with people, like, older brothers or someone going out on a little date. It's to kind of thwart them from getting too close. But also some of the children today, meaning older people as well as souls, we're all children of the Creator, have maybe lost respect for their body. I don't know how to say that right. But that that the act of love, the energy of that, is all special and sacred in one way, too. So maybe some people I think what I'm hearing from the other side now is the crew on the higher realms are up there. They're saying, well, a lot of things has to do with what's been happening on the physical density on the planets that we're on, these dense planets, where we have lower beings manipulating and controlling and trying to harass people to do these different things, like break down, get have some male, rape a child or something. It's all part of that way that they're connecting with telepathy or like mind control, but it's not really that. It's like sending thoughts of lust or different depraved thoughts.
It's negative influence coming from
these beings.
Discarnate.
So they're causing some of this to happen to children and to people. And so in one way, again, we have to be forgiving, but people do intuitively, instinctively do have some knowledge of right and wrong, so they can step in and control the body if they choose. They have to tame the physical body, control it from doing things or desires that are not right at the time, or doing things that are just wrong, like to abuse or hurt somebody or an animal.
I think, though, that a lot of times...
This is karmic stuff, too.
A lot of women, perhaps in the older days, might get themselves in trouble because they fell in love, quote unquote.
Right.
And but then the guy didn't come through for them. So, you know, there's that sadness. And
yes.
Then there's the idea that if there's an abortion, the child, there are a couple of different possibilities for the child to continue to grow on the other side,
yeah,
or just try to get back into that family if that's what its intention was.
Yes, they will come back if they have to or want to, and or choose a different way. So when people murder people, that's what happens on the other side. Things were set up. And when someone murders a child or murders a teenager, just something like that happens, that child, that person's life that was planned with the children and other people that were supposed to meet with them is all thrown off kilter. That's why the law on the physical realms is to not murder others of your own species, let's say, whatever you want to say. We shouldn't be killing each other. And like in space, we know that humans on planet Earth murder each other, kill each other for no reason sometimes. They just have this thing that happens. And these space beings and the other beings, they don't... That's one thing that they don't do. They just do not want to kill unless you're being attacked in some way. But just randomly kill people because you're mad at them, no.
No, I don't think it's... I think that's in play, but I also believe, and Mark believes this too, that there are... He spoke about forces. Other forces are always coexisting with us, and depending on how we operate as spiritual beings, these forces, these negative forces, can take advantage of us.
Yeah.
And in our weak moments or whatever, get us to act badly.
Or like drinking too much, drugs or any kind of things that can start to manipulate because the energy in the auric field opens up. Holes, sort of like little Swiss cheeses, holes in the aura. These beings follow people that are into things that they desire too, like let's say drugs or something, and they will follow them and send an energy link through the hole in the auric field heading towards the solar plexus of the person or to the back of their neck into the solar plexus, also through the shoulder blade that way. So they try to connect that way with an energy, not possessing, physically jumping into someone's body as possession, manipulate them just close by, because I've witnessed it and seen it and battled them in the past when I was a teenager. So I saw them in other people, and I could see how close they stood within about a foot of the person's back. They could stand and sometimes 3 feet away. And I watched them manipulate two men in a bar at a discotheque I was at in 1972, and I saw them manipulate two guys to bump each other and have an argument as if they were going to set up and have a fight. And as they got just to that point, the girlfriends came to them and said, stop it, don't do anything, this is ridiculous, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden the guys stopped what they were doing. They were ready to punch each other. I saw the two shadow entities, the two beings manipulating both men from behind, jump away from them like 4 feet away and just run to the other end of the bar and wait in the dark in the corner. And as soon as they jumped out of from the possession area of the back of their energy fields, the men became like, what the heck? What are we talking about? What were we just doing? And they became friendly and bought each other their beer again. It's just funny to see when they manipulate, they control in such a way.
That's a very overt example.
They cause anger. They trigger the energy they want to feed on.
And I did want you to address this question, number four. Is there a moral reason to keep population down so spiritual karma repercussions are not an issue the way they might have been in the past? Because people are being programmed to say that we're overpopulated, so therefore abortion is can be considered karmically unacceptable activity.
That would be something that the negative beings want to promote.
We disagree vehemently
with
that.
That is what the negative entities of this working on this planet, or we want to call that being Lucifer or Satan, whatever you want to call them, the two of them there, not one person, two different people, two different angels. And Lucifer's in charge, and the one known as Satan or Satana, well, Satana, Satan now, is like the lieutenant, like second in charge. And that, Lucifer tells that one what to do and where to go and help and get other stuff together and harass people. And he get tons of them together, minions, let's say. So they're the ones promoting that abortion effect and kill everything. That's why you see a lot of blood, because the blood is what they utilize on the planet, physical, to use a base of energy to control and manipulate. And if you have an altar where a lot of blood has been poured from different animals or even humans, they use that as a energy battery. We'll say the best way I could say is a battery of sort, and they can manipulate and manifest in a form, sometimes physical enough people see it, depending on where it is, where they do this. So people, if you ever come in the woods anywhere outside, you see some strange circle with lots of weird things, like looks like something's been slaughtered, stay away from that and get away from it. Ask for protection, because that might be where someone was doing some rituals or something like that.
I think we also have to say, we'll probably get in trouble for this, I think we also have to say that the abortion clinics really are attract.
Yes, they do. Yeah.
You know, malevolent.
Evil things hanging around those things. And any,
because it's blood sacrifice.
Any psychics, some might have known, but others who are out there, if you ever went by one, you would feel the energy as like, like a whole draining energy going to the ground and sinking, or you would see the entities around the area. And if you saw doctors or nurses who have no conscience about this, I mean, I thought they had do no harm in their original whatever oath they take, this would not be right with it. But if they have no belief system and they're just doing their job, doing whatever it's done for the money, whatever it is, you will see beings following them and surrounding them, the type that would get pleasure in hurting, dismembering, or whatever they do to another innocent. And the children, babies, zygotes, whatever they are, you know, little babies, I call them still babies, or fetus, a little fetus that's now a baby, because they look like little babies, just smaller, have conscious. They are... the soul, it connects with them. So the soul feels everything they're doing, that soul that's there. And they do, the only thing that the soul can do when this is about to happen with an abortion is they pull back. They pull away, get away from the mother's body, pull back, but their energy is still connected. And people might say, oh, it's the silver cord or the gold cord or whatever. Yeah, it's a tiny, thin energy frequency. If you want to see it, you just ask and you'll see it. If you're traveling out of body, you won't even notice it. But if you want to turn around and see it, you can ask and you'll see it. A very fine strain, like a thread of hair. Very tiny, sparkling light, very thin. But that's what has to disconnect. Once they've connected and the heart starts, and the heart's beating and they connect with the Creator helps them with the connection. The soul is aligned in. Now they're in. So they're connected. So that until that little cord, as we call it, is severed, but through death, of the, when the heart stops beating, then that is when the soul is now left and can go. So even though they're disconnecting that and pulling back, they still will feel some and mostly what goes on when they take the baby apart or whatever they do to them, or salt, whatever they're doing, the baby feels it. So that soul feels it. Now that soul has to forgive all that's been going on. But there are some souls that don't forgive the doctors. So when you get to the other side, the doctor gets to the other side, or nurse, and is confronted by these beings, the souls that were aborted. They might be teenagers or adults or babies or little children. They might have, because when you come out, they can be a child or they can transform into their more adult look self, which would be like a 20-year-old, let's say 15, 20 years old. So there was a doctor that became, he said he was an atheist, I don't know his name, but he was a couple years back, I guess 20 years ago, and he was aborting, doing abortions, and he had a near-death experience, and he went out of body, and he went to the other side, and he was met by a man, I think I've told the story a long time ago, who he recognized as a saint, but he didn't know who he was. He just knew he'd seen him before. And he met him on the other side, and he guided him to a spot on a hill, and he saw a field filled with people, like a park. It looked like a park, he said. And they were all talking and, you know, playing and doing stuff. And the man is standing there seeing them, and he says, what's this got to do with, what am I doing here? And he's talking to this man, the saint guy, and he's talking with him, and then all the people turn around, and they look at him, the doctor, and they're seeing, he's seeing them looking like they're upset. And he says to this man, who he said was a saint, why are they looking at me like that? And he says, these are all the people you aborted as in the womb. So these are the children that he aborted, now all there on the other side, who still obviously might be holding a grudge in some way, but he had to be able to see. Maybe they will forgive him, but maybe he had to, the message was, you have to see what happened, and the thousands of children that are now here growing, and they're looking at him like, you cut my life short. Now also the mother might have made that same choice or was forced, but still, they still had the grudge on this doctor who maybe had pleasure in some way of taking these babies out of the mother. Some doctors do that. So he came back from a near-death experience, transformed, and became a Christ-loving being, recognized that the saint might have been like a Saint Anthony or another saint that he saw later in a book that he recognized him was the same man, who was probably a saint for the children. So it came to, it could be St. Jude as well.
Or Christopher.
Yeah, Christopher, St. Jude. But the thing is he recognized him and couldn't figure out why. But then when he came back, he researched and he found this man. So this is this transformed him. And he repented and he gave, asked for forgiveness. But now he's a champion against it to say what he saw. It's like, what I saw was the children. So this is true. And when you get to the other side, I've had an experience, I think I mentioned before in the past, about a niece who,
relative.
So we found out later that there was a baby, but that because their age got an abortion, and they didn't want to, but they did, and named the baby. So the thing is when I got to the other side, I went to check on someone who had passed away.
And what he got to was, they were in heaven.
They were in
they're
the heaven realms.
They're not burning in hell.
No,
people.
No, they're in the heaven realm. The person is also on the other side. The thing is, the main thing is, I met this person on the other side, and I didn't know them. They gave me their name, and I just thought, okay, I'll ask when I get back who this person might be. And he said, hi, I am so-and-so. I didn't get a chance to be born. So I thought maybe it was a miscarriage, because my mom had a couple of miscarriages before me and after me. So I thought, someone had a miscarriage, I'll just ask about it. Well, when I did, no one knew. So as time, years went by, and we found out that it was our relative, through the boyfriend that was at the time, came to tell them the story. And so they named the baby. And that's the name that the man gave me on the other side, the name of the of his name. So now I understood what happened. And I just want people to know that I didn't want to give away my relative friends. But the thing is, I want you to know that even though a baby is aborted in any way, it gets to the heaven realms very quickly, right then. And that's the third and fourth heaven realms, just different planes of the heaven realms when you enter, and then there's four, fifth different planes. So let's say fourth and third plane is the entry area. So that person's fine, and the person who had the abortion is passed as also there, and all is fine. So I want people to know, don't dwell in guilt. Ask for forgiveness. If you had to have an abortion, and you didn't really want to, but you had to because of circumstances or the age you were, ask for forgiveness, talk to the soul. That was your friend who was going to be a child left in life that you came into, but maybe already came back as another one of your children, if you have children now, let's say.
Or a relative.
It could be a relative's child, too, that you're very close to. That gives another sign.
Well, you know, I think that's very important.
I forgot about that.
You know, Mark, you know, I think what's actually a very important point is that when you're asking for forgiveness, you're asking for forgiveness from that soul.
Yes, yes.
So you're basically the soul that you've denied entrance. You need to say, you know, aside from asking for Creator's mercy, you need to ask forgiveness to clear the karma, if it's at all possible, with the soul that you denied,
yeah.
Or if the baby was a little bit too old to really be aborted.
Yeah, that happens. And today it's happening worse than now. We got to really pray for everybody. Pray for those children. And one of our favorite prayers is, I'll say it again for everybody to say it with us, is the Angel of Peace prayer given to the children of Fatima in 1917 or so. So the angel came to them and told them to pray like this, that the Creator hears you and your supplication, meaning your humility and humbleness and devotion. So he said, "My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love you. I ask pardon of you for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love you." And you say it three times, preferably in some way on your knees or bowing in some way, as in supplication or humility.
Or when you're doing your prayers.
Or prayers at night. Or I walk down the sidewalk in New York and I say that prayer, whispering it to the children, to the people, because there's so many people that might not have a belief system or they're angry at Creator for no reason because they think something happened, so they're angry at Creator. So by saying this, we're giving those people, those souls, including souls that are on the other side right now in like purgatory realms or what we call the Bardo levels or so, where they're in a walking zone, it's gray. They might be confused. They just don't
remember,
know.
They have self-inflicted their penance.
Yeah, a lot of times that's true. The higher self and oversoul will hold the soul back, meaning the aspect. We're aspects in different ways. So holds it there to learn the lesson. Sometimes suicides get stuck in the same spot, maybe in the house where they killed themselves or an area. And because they can't understand or they don't believe or they're not sure, they stay with what they know is familiar. And so the over part, if they hung themselves, murdered themselves in some way, keeps them in a certain area until their lifetime sentence would have been maybe time to go, like they would if they had lived physically 30-some-odd years or more later, they were going to die in some other reason. I found that out from the other side when I worked with the angels. So that sometimes happens when a person has no beliefs.
Mark, you have to use the word sometimes
because there are
exceptions to all rules.
Oh, yeah.
There could be somebody who has just massive depression because of who knows what particular reason, and they just
took so many pills.
They kill themselves to escape, you know, unbearable pain. You know,
or accidental death.
That's true, too.
Maybe a drug overdose that was given by somebody else not knowing that they were taking the fentanyl. You know, things like that was in the drug, and that kills them. That was not intentional. They didn't want to die, but still have to forgive. Yet they get to the heaven realms. They get to the other side. And it helps with their belief systems where they're focused towards.
Well, I think I just wanted to wrap up the abortion thing because it really is all about responsibility, and people should not be cavalier about it and think, oh, well, you know, if we don't have, if we abort a kid, it just helps the planet to evolve better. We can absolutely guarantee that the Creator loves its creation and it loves every child that has the opportunity to be born into its creation. And we certainly are not in a place on this planet right now, nor will we be in the near future, where every single child could not be taken care of if things were working properly. And if, you know, there weren't you know, let's just say forces of evil preventing that from happening. So I think if a child wants to come in whatever way it wants to get here, it's coming for a lesson, and I think we, to the best of our ability, should respect it. And, you know, not be cavalier. That's primarily what we're saying. But if mistakes are made, then people have to ask for forgiveness.
Okay, and I got more information just coming in to remind people. There, because of the planet we're on right now, and it's a beautiful planet, but there are beings here that are invisible to our eyes, physically mostly, but not always. Some intuitives can see these beings. I can see them around people, around pornography, in the aura of a person. I can see them around drug addicts or people who drink alcohol excessively. And I try to stay away from alcoholics because I see the things going around. They harass others around them. They come after you, too, if you're watching, especially if they know you see them. So the way you do that is to cast them out with the word of Christ. Or you just say different things like that. You know, go on, get away, cast away from me, etc. The thing that I'm trying to get through here is the people have to change the way they think, your thoughts about yourself and your body and how sacred it is and how beautiful it is, and to not just let it just go for pleasures or just fall into these things with these beings when they manipulate people through drugs or even drinking. If you notice, sometimes in movies and everything, they say they were drinking and they got, you know, they just lost themselves, they were loose, and they did things they wouldn't have done normally.
But it could also be through music, because today's music,
music is
actually
is doing that.
Engineered.
Yes, thank
to
you.
To be highly sexualized. And,
yeah.
You know, it's
and they're subconsciously, they're programming people with this stuff, and they're causing desires and acts to occur in young kids and children, teens and all. So we have to learn to respect not just your body, but other people's bodies, and not just be thinking on negative or thoughts to hurt others, or be constantly dwelling on lustful thoughts. And this doesn't help with the TV, movies, or phones, whatever. People can dial up pornography whenever they want. So the thing is that men and women look at that. Everybody thinks men only do, but I've researched and found more. A lot of women do, younger women too. So there's a thing for turning themselves on. So we have to respect the body. And the way they did in the ancient days was to look at the body as sacred, and that as a temple, and that the heart is very sacred in the area of our bodies. It is where our soul as well connects to us, in the chest and the heart area, and in the neck and the head area. When we disrupt that or have negative thoughts or lustful thoughts. I know I'm touching on something with people with this, because there are people that actually dwell on this during the day. And like they've said, oh, men think of this sex like every 5 seconds almost. I'm thinking, really? They do? But there might be triggers around them that just visuals and things and TVs or movies, pictures, calendars, whatever it is. So we have to start thinking like the space beings do. They wouldn't have a calendar or anything like that of naked men and women. That's not something they would do. And you have to think of them as your brothers and sisters and your children. You have to think of them in that way, because that's how we think in those ways on the ships. You're not thinking in thoughts like that. And everybody's beautiful, or they look a certain way, and you might say to yourself, wow, they're beautiful. Everybody's beautiful. Yeah, but you're not turning into lust or something with anyone you meet. It doesn't happen like that on the ships. That's why they found it hard to understand how people on the planet are falling into such negative things. But when we're here living on this planet, when you come in and you're here and you get to the other side, you could talk to them about that and say, well, did you live on planet Earth? No, they say. So you say, did you live on a physical dense planet manipulated by negative beings? Not really. I live on Venus. You know, one of those. Now, you guys, you get me? So now you're saying, well, I live on Earth, and I can tell you how rough it is for the people there. And I knew people like this, and did this, and it did this to me. You know, you could say it, you would tell it like that. And they see your thoughts. They would get your telepathy. And then they'd understand how the the passion or the feelings that come on with this, these beings that manipulate people to, are pushing people to do things they wouldn't normally have done. So we have to think of each other, all souls here, all of us walking as brothers and sisters. Would you do that with your brother and sister? No. Not normally, but some people might on this planet, yes, because they're manipulated. But the thing is no, you want to think of them as your brothers and sisters, as close friends, family. And that's what they mean by loving each other as you love yourself, and thinking and respecting each other as you love and respect yourself. So these beings cannot manipulate us if we keep that thought out there saying, stand back.
Well, I think we can wrap that up, but that is really the key here. There's a lot of manipulation going on that people do not realize, and so, you know, bad decisions get made, and they're not always only your own, but not that we're saying, you know, but many times they are, but we're also saying just, you know, be very conscious of everything, because this is a rough reality. It's a very dark, dense planet.
And people do want love for love's sake.
Yeah, they
you
do.
Know. And the other thing, I knew about the 1970s and late 60s and all. Well, I was a teenager. So back in those 60s and 70s, I started asking questions when I was on the other side. And I found out, and I asked some people as I got older, in my 20s, I asked people, how do you feel, especially men, okay, I talked with men and I talked with girls, but I said, what did you feel when they said, well, I went with a prostitute, somebody told me. So I said, what did you feel when you did that? And they said, well, empty or guilty. And, like, they want to take a shower. Now, the women I talked to also, I knew a few people that had done some things as a teenager and they weren't happy. So I said, well, how did you feel when you felt when you went, like, with somebody you didn't even have feelings for? It's just money. They told me empty, a feeling of almost hating myself for it. You know, something like that, wanting to take a shower. Not getting clean enough. These are the words that they gave me. And I said, when you are in love, and this I know from the other realm, when you're in love and two people come together who are in love, who really love each other, even if it's an infatuation love, mm-hmm. it feels real. So that's where teenagers fall into this. So it feels real. And when they connect to the bodies physically, there's a connection with the energy field, with the chakras and the aura, and the chakras connect, and there's actually a glowing of love, a pink glow coming to the heart of incredible love, and there's a completion that occurs of switching back and forth, the feeling of energy exchanging back and forth with the aura. So there's actually a real connection with a person that's just for the one-night stand. Nobody knows themselves, really. They just are one-nighting it and next day goodbye. Not prostitutes, just one-night stands as well, that kind of thing. A person has no real connection. They just want to get together with someone. They call it today hooking up. I don't understand, but okay. All I can think of is the space shuttle hooking up to the sun. Anyway, so they call it hooking up, and that is an empty energy field. Unless there's a real connection of love, it becomes non-exchange, and it becomes a feeling of shock or a shunting of the energy field. There's no connection of love. It's just an act. This is why we have to think of ourselves as family, as we're all connected, and the real love comes towards us. It's better to keep yourself cleansed or purified, in a sense, and wait for the person that's coming for you rather than just jump with other people. Because as you jump with other people, men, women, whatever, it doesn't matter, men, women, I don't care. Whatever you're jumping, just for the sake of hooking up or having a connection, what comes with the energy field of the other person as well, whoever's hooking up, both of them, are the other people that they connected with too, as random or prostitute or whatever, or gigolo, whatever it is. Those energy fields come within the energy of your aura that were now from others. So you have, like, we'll call it dirty aura. It's not really bad, ugly, or anything. It just means thought form connection frequencies. And it comes in with those frequencies of the energy of those people that those people all had energies, connections with in a casual sex or one-night stands or prostitution. I know I'm covering something, but I'm made to tell you this because when I researched it years and many years ago, it was all the same. And I actually saw connection energy happening with people trying to hook up with each other on a bar to one-night stand it, and there was absolutely no energy going between the auras as a hello, oh, hi, you know, nothing there. It was as if the people just were mechanical. They didn't have any energy with each other. It was almost, it was creepy to watch, actually, to see it. It was empty, no connection. When an aura reaches out, the auras reach out when they connect. And to the people. That's why, you know, women are really cool with this. They're the best. They hold back, because they want to be sure, because they know intuitively. They're taking energy on their body. They know this instinctively, but maybe now you'll know why you know this instinctively and intuitively. You're actually pulling energy because of love. If you're opening up too fast, too quick, you're getting this energy from this other guy or girl, doesn't matter, and it might not be real. And you might feel a feeling of, in your stomach, your solar plexus, where it's telling you the truth. But you still want to be with that person. You want to check that out or be with them. So until you find out later, they maybe weren't for you. Well, then you let it go. And that's but you experienced it and you went through with it and it's okay. And you know, you two of you were learning about each other.
Well, I guess this went down into a different angle.
It sure did. So anyway, that's basically what. The people on the other side, there's other high realms and all, who don't have always a physical dense reality life, treat each other. And yes, they do have love, and they do have encounters, let's say, whether it's blending different types of sexual encounters they have on the other side, on those high realms as well, which is similar to here on Earth, or different ways of blending.
He's choking.
I was having a dry throat, an instant effect, talking too much. So, and that's basically what I think what the crew and the other people on the other side are trying to help us understand. Don't be so fast to jump with people, because maybe you want connection, or you just want love, or you just want companionship for the day or for the night.
Or maybe just how about respecting yourself? How's that for an idea?
Well, that's what they meant in the ancient times, right?
I don't think that's being taught.
They said they're virginal, but that's what it meant. In their time, that's, for them, it was diseases. They understood about things were being spread in the biblical times as well. And so this was what they knew. But in those days, they didn't have cures for things.
Okay, so, I want to wrap this up so you can read the message you got today from Saren Sananda.
Okay, I know this is a crazy message, everybody, but someone out there wants to hear it. I don't know why. This stuff on the abortions and other things.
We covered all the questions that they had.
Do we got that part here? No precaution?
Well, we're just saying karma. They were just trying to understand what kind of karma happens. If we understand if you get an abortion, if you've been raped, that sort of.
Okay, so today in today's world, they're going to use it as a way to keep the population. And what they're doing with those little fetuses and baby parts is disgusting. But the thing is, that's what they're utilizing it like. I mean, saying it's about, but in truth, it's negative beings wanting this innocent slaughtered. And children being killed in different ways, as people are finding out.
So we're just suggesting to think twice. That's all. Think twice before, you know.
Yes, and karma.
And, probably not very many young people are listening. So this is. But perhaps people know younger people, and you can just try to express to them that use wisdom.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
So let's just read because this is the only show that we'll do that's our own this month. This is the first Friday of every month, and this is the Christmas to us. The Christmas, I guess it's Hanukkah too, but it's for us,
Hanukkah.
The Christmas holiday. We asked I asked Mark to get his Oversoul Sarah and Sananda Yehoshua to give us a message. So they did.
So from the other side
of
the ship.
I'll post it later. I haven't got it. It's fresh off the press here. He's going to read it.
I was typing it 20 minutes before the show, finishing it. This was, we're calling it the Christmas message 2021. When I'm on the other side with Sananda, who was walking the planet Earth a couple thousand years ago as Yehoshua, he is the creator. He is the central, the son of the Trinity. And I know it's hard for people to get this, but on the high realms where I come from, this is what I know and what the truth is on that side. So get trying to get your energy and thoughts on Creator, on the love of Creator. So here's the message. I was tuned up in my way that I do with kind of a remote view vibe. That's why I can say it. I'm in the body of my overpart. I go tune up from, I could be sitting on the sofa or something, and I tune up. I'm in my own over self body. And I'm at a higher self form in here. And I see through my eyes there. I see, and I'm walking on the ship as well.
So you're seeing,
so I'm in two places at once. Yes.
Seeing through Sarah's eyes.
Yes. And
the oversoul.
And my friends there looking at me, just like as if we're talking in a room together. You'd be looking at your friend. That's how I see him. So Sananda was there, and I asked if we can get a message of something or we could talk about something. So telepathically, Sananda was talking with me on the other side, in my overpart body form. And here's what... So some of it's me talking, meaning me as Sarah, my own self, saying some things. And then I quote what Sananda says. I'm saying this, my overpart. Sananda, Yehoshua, would like everyone to know he's always with all of us and loves us unceasingly. He's personally coming to people individually who invite him in. He is also coming to those who have called out to Creator in crisis of their spiritual beliefs who are longing for truth. Now, Sananda is saying to me, now the biblical and different end time prophecies are coming true, like the Blue Kachina or the Blue Star Kachina, Nostradamus, and others, as can be seen in the world today, where many people are hurting, homeless, jobless, or in despair and longing for answers and truth from Creator. Draw close to me, and I will comfort you, protect you, give you strength, and counsel you when you have questions. Sananda, that was this quote, Sananda Yehoshua says to all people, this is what I was saying, now here's what he says, we, meaning, we means the Creator, the Holy Spirit, and the Son. We, I, hear you, my beloveds. Be still. Do not dwell on the past or fear for the future. Have faith. Stand in your truth as a child of the living Creator, who hears you when you cry out and longs to guide you all. When you're with Creator, me, that's Yehoshua Sananda, in your mind, heart, body, and soul, and trust in me, then your words have power to change the world you see around you, to heal yourself and others, and to bring forth miracles in my name. Your spirit, as is all of creation, is with Creator, me, and the Holy Spirit, and we know your intent in your heart. Therefore, praise the Creator and give thanks for all you have now, have had, and will have in the future. As you go through life, respect and love all people and animals as you love yourself. Treat everyone kindly. The Creator comes close to the soul that praises and calls out with love, reverence, and devotion. Listen to your heart where you will be guided and know I am with you always. Unquote. Now Sananda says to me, I'm saying this, Sananda has said he's coming back soon, but not like tomorrow. He has promised more years for the children, which is all of us, we're the children, to come back home to Creator before the Earth goes through its 12,000-year cyclical changes along with our solar system, sun, and galaxy. At this special time of the year, when people come together in honor of Sananda Yehoshua's holy mission on the Earth, all of us on the Arkvana, that's the crew and everyone, and our oversouls, and those oversouls listening, we're in the family with all of us on listening on the show now, on the podcast. All of us on the Arkvana wish you a most blessed, joyous Christmas and Hanukkah and a happy new year. And that means all of the religious beliefs of everyone. Whatever your belief is, have a joyous and happy holiday season. And they said in a joyous and a happy new year. And that was the end of the message they gave.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And,
I'm just glad you got to read that, because it's been kind of an intense show.
It's very intense. We touch on a subject, and I just can't stop these guys to show me stuff. And then I get all the things I learned about or knew about or found out about from 30, 40, 50 years ago, and I was like, whoa, This is needed today still. But you got everyone listening, respect yourself. Love everyone as you love yourself and as your children of the Creator who loves you deeply and unceasingly.
And also, if you're getting ready to make what you might think is a bad decision, you know, stop for a second and say, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Is this really my decision or somebody trying to influence me
somebody manipulating
to do something stupid? And it could be anything. It could be cheating. It could be, you know, just something that's not quite right.
Yep.
You know, because it's just, you know, you have to clear your karma on a daily basis.
And forgive. Yes.
Forgive
people that hurt,
yourself,
say
too.
Things bad or hurt you in any way. Just let's all forgive them. It cuts the karmic links when you really forgive them as brothers and sisters. Say, you know, I know they didn't mean it. I love them all. They're just being manipulated. We're all being manipulated all the time. So if we see, and know, you know, Creator knows that we're being harassed and manipulated. And so it gives us a little curveball there, like, okay, you know, I know you're being harassed and we're doing that, didn't mean to do it all, but you still got to ask for the forgiveness. You still got to forgive. And that's what I'm saying today.
It's a good message.
No matter all the people that are hurting others out there on planet Earth and whatever they're doing, let's just start loving them all and this Earth, this beautiful Earth, this beautiful planet, and the spirit of this planet, which is an angelic being, an archangel-type being. And
you know, I just also want to throw in, you know,
game.
The idea of gift giving. The things that really seem to resonate the deepest are things that you do of yourself, not just go out and buy
from your heart,
a gift, and not even realize what is this? What is the symbol of gift giving? You know, the symbol of the gift giving were the three wise men that came in to bring the gifts to. As to the Savior, to the newborn, to the Messiah.
We didn't even touch on the Christ consciousness.
Yeah, we'd like to do a whole show just on Christ consciousness because I don't think everybody has it quite right. But
there's some things that are misunderstood in this quote New Age communities of what's being done with the training and how it's been manipulated to make people think that they are a Messiah or they're something else. And it's not true. So we're the children.
But once again, on the highest levels of consciousness where Mark is emanating from and can access at will, we are all up. We are in service to the Most High. And I think that's really what...
And the beings up there, you would say, oh, my gosh, these are godlike beings. These are incredible people. Because we have amazing abilities, yes.
They can pretty much do anything.
Yeah.
We darn well.
But we're not the Creator. That's been my story ever since. I go, we're not the Creator, but we can do many things.
And on that positive note, we have to start wrapping up. Thank you both. This was a wonderful show, very informative. Would you care to share with folks how they can contact you and where they can find out more about you?
Yeah, no.
Okay. The intergalacticmission.com and markbrinkerhoff.com. That's my art site. And etuniversalzone.com, that's the site where we're posting the podcast and different things we do with Hercules and any other little interviews we put them in, first at the top under archives. Most recent are at the top under archives. And consultations, I give spiritual consultations and aura readings and aura, I can do draw auras too for people to see them. And some basically spiritual consultations and illustrations if needed. For the souls looking for information on their oversoul, their higher self, or their guardian angels and other angels, because I could see them and hear them. And that's it. All the emails you reach us is the same one on all those websites, markbrinkerhoff@yahoo.com. And thank you, Hercules, for having us
always,
as usual.
And thank you both for being here. I'm looking forward to our next show already, and I'll be contacting you this weekend.
Thank you.
Great.
God bless you. Thank you, everybody. Adonai Vasu Baragas means blessings always in the light and love of infinite and radiant Creator.
And happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Merry, merry. Joy, joy.
And
love
to you
all.
As well. And
thanks.
In the seconds that we have remaining, I'm going to read our Olympian disclaimer.
Okay.
Aristotle suggested that entertaining new thoughts without feeling obliged to accept them is a wise practice to cultivate. And we agree. Our Olympian podcast explore interesting thoughts and viewpoints on a variety of topics, including health, religion, and politics. Our exploration gives voice to diverse personal opinions, areas of study, and systems of belief. Discussions in this forum, though sincere and enthusiastic, are not to be construed as Mount Olympus's endorsement on any particular point of view. Listen, think, learn. Have a great day, everybody. Bye-bye.
I know. Bye.